Now, what he's talking about there, we were talking about it this morning, because, you know, festival time and all that, there's so much on my mind and so many things. Like, my life, I try to keep it as simple as I can. And when this time of the year comes along, it gets way, maybe it's not that overcomplicated for other people, but to me, it's just overwhelming sometimes. Like, it's, I got to remember so many things and so many, you know, T's got to be crossed and I's got to be dotted and I got to make sure everything's there or else I'm lacking stuff. And this year was even more that way. And then not only that, but there's a lot of emotions involved in America's of people that you see that you ain't seen all year, things you find out that you didn't know about all year, people that you, it's an emotional overload kind of sort of on top of it being a mentally stressful time. And, you know, I've seen a lot of things, seen a lot of people yesterday that I've just been thinking about a whole bunch and kind of goes along with what I'm going to talk about this morning here or where we're at in this study about, you know, smithing and that kind of thing. But, you know, what you said there about people wanting to go back home. Why? They usually are the ones who ran from it in the first place. And despised everything about it. But I've lived long enough now to see things come around full circle and see the effects of what I'm going to talk about this morning play out in their life. And you ever see a bird come back to the nest after the babies are gone? Or she'll fly around or like a nest that's been robbed. And she'll come back, and that's really more of the analogy that I ought to use, because she'll come back after an old black snake's got up there and ate all her babies in 2 minutes and they're gone. And she'll fly around the nest and fly around and fly around. And there's a reason she should be there. There's a reason she has been there, and the reason ain't there no more. And there ain't nothing she can do about it. And in so many ways, I see these people that have left, and then they come back to the nest and it's all gone. You know, I seen people yesterday that, why were they there? They were from states away. Why were they there? Looking for something that used to be there. Yep. That's why they were there. And guess what? They didn't find it because it wasn't there. And there's this hollowness and emptiness in their conversation and in their lives, man. I'm telling you. You know, we talked about it this morning where I said, it's something that we put, it's some more of that forging and hammering that we do on our kids that we don't even realize we're doing. And it's the principle of the matter. It's like this matter of going camping. Now, everybody in here that knows anything about me knows that I ain't much on camping in tents and things like that. It ain't no fun for me to take the whole family and go camping. And cook on a fire or have a little stove or whatever. I mean, I like the idea of it all. But it's a lot of work for me. It's a lot of work for me. Everybody else has fun and I have to work. And yet, you still see campgrounds that are just plumb full. You see people that buy, they go to the camping section at Walmart and buy it out. I mean, every year they buy a lot of stuff to go camping with. Why? Why do people want to buy, you know, antiques and have them sitting around their house? Why do they want to go back? I see these guys, and like I know this, I'm friends with this guy down the Boot Hill, and he got into traditional bow hunting here a while back, and so he made some bows himself, and then he found a manufacturer that makes recurve, like actual, they make several different styles of traditional bows. Well, then he started making his own arrows and his own broadheads and fletching his own arrows with traditional, like the feathers and the making his own glue. I mean, he did it the hard way, all the way. But he's just really into it. He really likes the traditional part of it. That part of it's what he likes. And not only that, but then he shoots like all the time, and he's done one a state championship in Arkansas and in Tennessee. And he's heading up the one in Missouri next year or something. I don't know. He's really into it. But he posted a video there the other day where he went out and he killed his first deer with his traditional, I mean, all his equipment is what he made, or it's like the original look kind of stuff. Why? We have rifles, man. I mean, Man has evolved and produced things that makes things so much easier. Why would you want to do it the hard way? Well, it's because the way it used to be done made you appreciate that meat a whole lot more when you worked that hard for it. And we'll be critical of people who do things the old-fashioned way, yet we like the benefits and the feeling we get when we get to benefit from the old-fashioned way. And honestly, there's no satisfaction. There's not as much in the new way that things are done. Not near as much as if you do it the old. We talk about it all the time, going out west and how the cabins are awesome and then you get to be in the mountains and blah, blah, blah. But ain't nothing like when we used to go camping and how much more fun it was, how much more enjoyable we enjoyed every minute of it, except the hailstorms or the bears. But I'm saying, you enjoyed it. Those are the good memories. And it's because of the way it used to be done. Anytime you hear anybody talk, do you hear anybody talking nowadays about what a wonderful meeting we had last year or somebody? No. No. All only thing you'll hear people talk about is way back when in these little churches and these little revivals or these little camp meetings that you had or way back in them days when so much work went into it and it was done the hard way. And people slept on gym floors or filled up classrooms with old army bunk beds and all that stuff we talk about, but ain't done no more. And so there ain't none of that being talked about. It ain't happening anymore. And then our kids have grown up, another generation or two have grown up with that void. And it's just a story. And yet, we'll do simple things, even in the matter of something like camping, you know, to cast a disparaging attitude towards the old way. And I'm telling you that it carries through into even the spiritual realm because of how you train their little minds to think about the old way. We've been talking about this matter of blacksmithing and all that, making that comparison. And I want to start out this by saying, look, when I talk about this morning, get your mind wrapped around the fact I'm not talking about blacksmithing, okay? We're not up here talking about the pros and cons and the finer points of how to make a horseshoe out of a piece of bar stock with fire and a hammer. It's not what I'm talking about. It's just a neat it's a neat thing to parallel it to for all of the all of the things that line up with it in your spiritual life. We're going to talk about fire this morning. You know, we've been talking about the things that a blacksmith needs in order to do his job the right way. And they were the right tools and a good place to work. Last week we talked about instruction and guidance. This week we're going to talk about fire. You know, there's a whole... I think we could just stay here the rest of the month probably and never exhaust it. There is a whole lot to be said about this. About the way it used to be done, the way some people still do it, and then the ways that have come along nowadays that is just so much better in some people's opinions. But there's pros and cons to all of it, and that's what we're going to talk about. So, yeah, I'm just going to use Leviticus chapter 10 this morning in verse 1 and 2. And I'm going to read this verse, these couple of verses, and then we'll get right into it. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, remember them guys? Took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord because of their strange fire. There went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Why? Because of their strange fire. Because of their fire that they defiled holy things with that God commanded them not to do. So he killed them. It was a pretty serious matter. This matter of fire concerning the sacrifices and the things in the law back then, it was important. You know, the fire had to come from God, not their stuff. They had to burn what God said, not what they wanted. Do you think about all the blood and everything that they burnt back then? And you ever smelled any of that before? You ever smelled something burning, a flesh like that? It's an awful smell. Terrible, terrible smell. There's a lot of more things they could have put on that fire, some incense or some kind of herbs or something that would have smelled a whole lot better. That's what they did.
Yeah.
They said that the thing God wants us to do stinks and it's unpleasant and we don't like it. And we'll get a lot more people to come around if it don't smell like a burning cow around here. So we're going to burn something that smells a whole lot sweeter. Maybe the crowd will grow a little bit. And God killed them with his fire. Okay, that's what he did. So, I'm just going to try to stick to my notes this morning here. All right, so what we're talking about, when you're talking about blacksmithing, there's several different kinds of fire that is available. All right, most any kind of blacksmith, they won't use charcoal simply because it burns up too fast and it don't ever really get hot enough to get your steel hot enough to do anything with. So what they've always used in the past is coal. That's what it always was coal. You burn coal. And nowadays, there's propane. You know, you have propane. Where are we going with this? What are you talking about? Well, just follow along, I'm telling you. Coal is something that occurs naturally. And it can be mined out of the ground. And propane is something that man has to siphon off of something else and do stuff to make it usable where it won't kill you, basically. And then, if you burn it in an enclosed place, it'll carbon monoxide and it'll kill you. You got to vent it and all that stuff. All right, so let's start out with this. I'm going to compare coal to propane on some points down through here. Number one, has anybody ever smelled coal burning?
Yes.
I like the way it smells, personally. It smells, it has its own kind of smell. Nothing else in the world smells like coal burning. And the fact that it's a rock that can burn fascinates me. It's a mineral, but it burns like that. It's neat. But it has its own smell. Problem with coal is it's filthy. And you can't mess with it. Okay, first of all, okay, let me stick to the plan here. It's unpleasant. Okay, you get dirty if you mess with it. You ever built a fire using coal at all? Has anybody in here burned coal before? All right, it takes a little while to get it burning. And then when it first starts burning and it's not quite hot enough, because see, it ain't like, you know, like a pine stump we find out here in the woods, that rich pine where you can just touch a match to it and whoosh, boy, it goes. No, you got to build a fire under the coal and get it going. And until it gets hot enough to burn on its own, it smokes and carries on. I mean, it's unpleasant. It's a little bit offensive if you're in a tight space because it smells strong. It'll burn your eyes. You know, it, like I said, it has its own smell and a lot of people don't like it. And it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of preparation to get it going. Now, when I'm talking about this morning, we're talking about fire. So, you know, the fuels that we're talking about here, I want you to make the comparison and just, you know, use a little spiritual maturity here and think about the application of this to your spiritual fire that we're supposed to be, that's supposed to be fueling us here. I mean, and ask yourself this, you know, what are you cooking with? You know, or what is the fire that's in you? You know, this coal fire, it takes a while to get it going. It's something you got to invest some time and some thought into. You know, made that comparison about camping in the old way versus the new way. And you pull in a $100,000 RV and you push a few buttons and it self-levels itself and everything. And all you got to do is just plug it in and your air conditioner and your TV comes on and everything's great. You know, that's not really camping. You know, and it's a lot less work to do that than it is to take an old musty smelling tent and figure out once again how all the poles go together and make sure you ain't got a big rock underneath right where you're going to be laying that night and make sure it's far enough away from the fire so that ashes don't blow over and burn holes in it. And, you know, that's the difference, see? And everybody is going to take the path of least resistance. That's how everybody works. They'll do whatever's easiest when it comes to camping or whether it comes to building a fire. Everybody laughs about it when, you know, we build what we call a white man's fire. You take and put all your wood and everything, dump a little saw gas on it, and run your string out there and light the match and woof, fire. There you go. You got fire. And Wyatt, you know, he's been fascinated from when he was little bitty with these flint and, you know, the magnesium and starting them that way. And I've always been of the persuasion, the gasoline method, because it's so much faster. But because he would fool with it and he kept messing with it, it made me have to stop and figure out how to do it for once in my life. And you want to know something? If you use it the right way, it's more effective than a match and some gasoline if you do it the right way. You can build a good fire quick with that stuff if you do it right. Ain't that right? Yeah. But nobody will fool with it because it's just easier to do it this other way. You know, I know some people, like I've said, that are blacksmiths and by trade and whatnot. And because of the kind of work that he, like, you know, where he travels around with his equipment to different places to do his work, you can't have a coal burning fire in a forge in your trailer. That's kind of dangerous. So uses propane. Well, why? Because of the convenience of it. Because of the perceived safety. Because of the time that he can save by just pushing a button. There it is. Fire. Ready to go. And then when he's done, he can just turn a valve off and it's going. It's way easier. But there's some things about it that are just not beneficial in the long run. I'm telling you. Is that the kind of fire you got? Have you took the time to work and make the preparations in your heart so that the fuel, the right kind of fuel that's going to do the job and last the longest and burn the hottest is in place? And then took the time to nurse that little fire to life? Or are you just pushing a button? Number two. Well, one more thing about that. It fires up with almost any spark. That's what propane does. It ain't like the coal fire where you got to baby it along and get it going. No, you can push a button or anybody can come along. You can have one of them little strikers, they call them, for a torch and it's on. And guess what? It's not very offensive to anybody. It has no smell. You can contain it. There's no residue comes off of it that hurts anybody. It's non-offensive. Number two, coal. It's more expensive. It's harder to find, especially the farther you get away from the source of it. If you live in the Northeast, in Pennsylvania, and the New England states up there, lots of people still heat their house with coal. Why? Because it's cheap. Because there's coal mines everywhere. And you can get the second, you know, like the lower grade coal works just fine for your furnaces burning them, you know, burning to heat your house with in the winter. Lots of people use coal. It's cheap. But you go down in Arizona somewhere and try to buy a bag of coal. Well, you know, if they can get it for you, you're going to pay a premium price. I know some guys around even here that use coal in their forge, and they've got to order it. And then it's like the low-grade stuff, and it comes in a bag, and, it's, you know, it's hard to use, and it's expensive. You know, it's a good, you know, it's a good reason to stay close to the source. If your intention is to be a good smith and always be doing this, you ought to stay close to the source of your fuel. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you're going to be away from it for a while, you ought to take some with you. You know, them guys that traveled out west, you know, and there was blacksmiths out there back years ago when they migrated west and tamed the west, but they had to be horseshoers out there and blacksmiths. Everybody's wagons had iron wheels and everything else. They had to be blacksmiths. And there had to be coal. That's why when the trains come along, it changed everything, because they had it all available then. You got to stay close to the source of your fuel. Propane, when compared to that, it's readily available everywhere, and it's cheap. Now, think about it with me, about how people, when you were talking about this matter of your spiritual fire and where you get it from and what you pay for it and how hard it is to keep it going or keep it up or how to keep, you know, how offensive it is or is not to other people that are around you, how effective it is. You know, if somebody is burning coal anywhere nearby, I know it. because I smell it. And if I get around them, I don't even have to see the fire or even smell it. I can tell if somebody's been messing with it or not because they got it on them. Mm-hmm. You can tell. Right. And when we're talking about this stuff here, think about the condition of the churches nowadays in our world that we live in, and the fire that they claim to have and that they worship about all the time and try to let, you know, they try. It's funny because they want everybody to know they got fire. They just don't want to offend anybody with it. And they'll do that at any cost, including the fire. Yes. At the cost of the fire, they won't offend anybody with what they're claiming to be their fire. They don't, you know, they feel like that it is the variable that can be snuffed out in order to not offend someone. When the fire is the very thing that makes steel malleable in the first place.
That's right.
If there is no fire, you ain't going to do no good. And if your fire is what these boys, these sons of Aaron had, strange fire, it ain't going to work. Might work for a little bit. I mean, they burned their incense on it, and it burned. But it didn't work in the long run. Number three, the presence of coal is going to leave a mark. You can't possess it or mess with it, and its evidence not be seen, smelt, seen on your clothes, on your hands, etc. You know, you'll smell like it. You'll smell like coal burning. It's one of those things that cannot be hidden. It's kind of like if you have chickens or hogs. If you have them, you can't hide them. Somebody come around, they're going to smell them sooner or later. You're going to know. Propane, it can be handled, stored, transported, burned with all the convenience in the world. No one even has to know you have it. The only difference is that it can be really noisy. That's the only thing about propane. I was reading about it when this guy was making a comparison between coal and propane. And he said the only thing about propane is that the bigger the fire that you have with propane, the noisier it gets. Matter of fact, it can get heavy. I have a 100,000 BTU torch at home that runs off one of those 20-gallon propane tanks to burn my carvings with. Anybody ever heard one of them things go off? You can't talk. You can't talk around it. It sounds like a jet engine. Why? Because the bigger the fire, the louder the noise has to be. You ever heard coal burning? No, you haven't, because it doesn't make noise. It just burns. It just gets hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And it don't make a bunch of noise, and it don't drown out the ability to even have a conversation with somebody around it, because it's just doing what it's supposed to do. It's burning hot. The hotter propane gets, the louder it has to be. You go out here and see somebody else's source of their fire, and it's so loud that you can't even have a conversation about it. It's all just the fire. You're just blown away by the awesomeness of this flame. Yeah. You better mark that fire, because it's strange fire. It's not coming from God. He come in with cloven tongues of fire and the sound of a mighty rushing wind. He did that one time that we know of. The rest of the time, it was in the quietness of the backside of the desert in a burning bush. How could God speak to Moses and him hear his voice if the burning bush was making so much noise that he couldn't talk? It didn't. It was just burning. Strange fire makes a lot of noise. That's what it does. Number four, it takes a while to get that fire going, the coal fire. Also, it takes a while to get it to the point where you can use it for forging. It also takes a long time for it to go out, too. Like I said there a while ago, it takes a while. You got to prepare a fire to build the fire. The Lord said, if you seek me, you'll find me if you search for me with all your heart. You're not just going to accidentally find the Lord. And you're not going to stumble upon him while you're in the middle of doing something else that has nothing to do with him. You're not going to go build a fire. You're not going to have a fire burning made out of the right stuff where you just accidentally just falls in your lap. No, it's going to have to be done on purpose. Seeking the Lord and seeking staying close to the source of your fuel and tending that fire and babying it along until it's hot enough to actually do something with, it's going to take some serious effort on your part. Everything else out there is a bucket of water trying to get dumped on your fire. And the devil, that's what he's wanting to do more than anything. The devil's biggest thing, I seen it yesterday, right out of the gate. First person that come up and started talking to me yesterday, straight from the devil, was trying to put water on my fire. And I know I recognized it before he even got there. It was just like in that Pilgrim's Progress book when he looked up and he seen this guy coming. And yeah, I looked up and seen this guy coming. And I'm telling you, it was truth laced with false fire. Strange fire. It was fire, but it was strange fire. And I'm telling you, you burn the right kind of fuel long enough, you'll recognize strange fire when you see it and when you hear it. And you won't let it come over and try to light your fuel on fire. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. And, you just... it takes a while to get your fire to the point where it's hot enough to be able to do what the fire was intended for to begin with. You don't light the fire and stick a piece of steel in it right away. No, it needs to burn a while. It needs to burn a while and be tended by someone who knows how to build a fire. And you got to have source from somewhere else, man, in order to make it work. And then you got to let it burn for a while before you start trying to shoe some poor old horse. You got to let it burn a while. And, propane don't work that way. It's so much more convenient that in the sense that it can be just turned on or turned off with the push of a button or the turn of a knob. You want fire? Boom. How many people I've literally heard them say, this is why it's just uncanny to me that it's so similar. It's like, how can you not make the connection here? What was Lucifer? He was the angel he was music. That's what he was. He was the ministry. He was the cherubim of music. And so when he got thrown out of heaven, he took that with him. He took part of that with him. And it's one of his favorite tools. Man, I'm telling you, go to a festival. It's my least favorite thing of the whole stinking mess, is having to listen to all of the strange fire sing their songs. That's a whole nother message there. But, they'll talk about how their music is what fuels their fire, man. It's why they all got to go to some flashbang, smoke and mirrors, loud, where you can't talk to each other, concert, like the world has, to be able to keep their fire fueled up and keep their fire lit up. And then when they get up and they go out and get in their car in the morning to go to work, they push that button and turn on their fuel, they turn on their fire. So by the time they get to work, they're ready to face the day because their fire's been lit. The world does the same thing with their music too, see? And so that's what this new strange fire, these people who have all this strange fire, that's what they like to do too. It's what lights their fire. Well, it's that music. So they go in and literally push a button. Just like you do on a propane forge when you push that button or your propane grill or whatever, and it lights that fire. And instantly, you can start cooking on it, buddy. You can stick a piece of metal in that forge, and in 10 minutes, it's be red hot. And then when you don't want it no more, you can just turn it off and roll her back in the trailer and shut the door and drive on down the road. Not even think about it. And that's exactly what these strange fire-having Christians have nowadays. That's like, why do you think they got it that way? Why do you think they have it that way? Well, because of the convenience. They can have fire when they want it. And then they can put it away when they don't want it. And they can hide it so nobody knows they have it. They don't smell like it. They don't talk about it. They don't have to have nothing to do with it. They're not using fire right now. Some things that when you're working with metal and you're putting that steel in the fire, that's different than when you're using propane. I always like to watch it in a propane furnace because you can watch it heat up. You can set it in there and just watch it. You can just watch it turn red. You ever see a guy work with coal that's a blacksmith? The part he's going to be working on, he sticks it all the way down in the fire. It's gone. You don't see it. The only thing you see sticking out is the piece he's going to be able to get a hold of to take it over and work on it with. The part that's getting hot, you ain't even really seeing how it's getting hot. It's just in the fire. It's buried in it. And, you know, that has a big effect on how it heats that metal up. I read there where the one of the benefits of coal versus propane is that what they call localized heat. So, anybody in here ever run a cutting torch? Most of you have, I know. Well, what do you got to do to make that torch cut that piece of steel? First of all, you've got to heat up the steel right where you're going to blast her. And when that sucker gets hot and gets red, then you put the oxygen to it. And that not only makes the fire way more intense right then in that one tiny little spot, but also blows the slag out and cuts you a line. It blows away the metal. That part of it that's actually getting hot, you're not going to do nothing with it. It's waste. It's burned up and done away with. Turned into slag that turns into part of the gravel in your driveway. It's gone. It's wasted. And it's only in that one tiny little spot. If you move it around a whole bunch, you're not ever going to cut that piece of metal. You got to keep it focused on that one spot. Whereas if you take a piece of steel and you put it in the fire, it ain't just that one little spot you want to work on that gets hot. It's everything around it. The whole piece of metal gets hot. And then when you pull it out of the fire and you put it on the anvil and go to working with it, none of it's wasted. You get to keep it all. Something else that was fascinating to me is that there's this thing that happens when you're working with metal. It's called scale. It's kind of similar to when you're welding and you've got slag that you got to knock off with that little pointed hammer. But it has to do with the way the metal reacts with the fuel that's being used to heat it up. And it's something that will show up later on after the piece is cooled off and the piece is supposed to be done. If you use coal and you do it slower and you take your time and you don't heat it up way too fast or cool it off way too fast, you'll have a whole lot less scale that forms on your finished piece. You can use propane for jobs that don't matter as much, like horseshoes that are just going to get wore off anyway. And you can do the same kind of work with that other kind of fire as you can with coal. The end product will be the same little leaf or the little meat hook or whatever it is you've made. But once it's all cooled off and done, there's going to be something form on the metal that was heated up with artificial fire that you won't ever be able to. It's a blemish in it. It's a blemish in it that wouldn't have been there if you'd had used the old-fashioned way of doing things. Look around. Do you know of anybody that looks like the part? Has what they claim to be some fire? They're a result of somebody else's strange fire. And they look like the finished product of what the man that made them was trying to make. But they're full of blemishes that just can't be wire brushed or ground off of them hardly at all. Yeah. In some way, all of us have got some of that on us. From the different people that have affected our, that have had a part in our forging. And when we raise, then you think about raising your kids and you use this fire that can just be turned on the weekends when you go to church and turned off when you go home. And you live by two or three different kinds of fire in your life. The results, the product that you produce at the end of this deal might look like what you was trying to make, but it's going to be full of blemishes and it's not going to be desirable. There'll be somebody come along, and when compared to them, man, the two pieces aren't going to match at all. Blemishes that don't have to be there if you did it the right way. Number six, and we're almost done here. The heat of the fire when you use coal is intensified only when wind is put to it. You ever see the old-fashioned ones that had the big bellows that they would blow, you know, and they put the wind to it if they wanted to really heat that piece of metal up quick? They'd put wind to their fire. And it intensified the heat. The Bible talks about wind, and it's always referring to either the Holy Spirit or God's presence in some way is compared to wind. Now, just make the connection here. If the fire that's in you is of God and His Holy Spirit is blowing on it, it's going to make it burn hotter. Okay? It's not going to blow it out. It's going to make it burn hotter. Propane does not work that way. Anybody in here ever messed with one of them little propane torches? Like the little ones? Like a soldering torch or something like that? I got a little one there that I use for detail work on my carvings and stuff. And I've got to make sure my back is to the wind. Because if I don't, it literally will blow out the flame. It'll blow it out. Just the slightest little bit of wind will either do one of two things. Remember, propane, you gotta focus the heat right on one spot. And if any wind comes along, like a side wind at all, the flame will be right on the wood and it will not burn because it's literally blowing the heat away. Right. It'll blow it around the piece that I'm working on if the wind is on it. Might not blow my flame out, but it blows the heat away. It's ineffective in every way because of the wind. And if it gets any kind of stiffer wind at all, it'll blow it out. Your fire's gone. Just like that. Well, why do you think that people who spiritually, okay, burn propane for their fire, why do you think they don't like being around the Holy Spirit? Because that's what it does to their fire. It immediately blows the heat off of it and it'll put it out real fast. But it will not do that to real fire. Even a wood fire burning, man, you... A little bit of a pyromaniac here, but have you ever took a leaf blower and put it on a wood fire? I mean, you burn it up quick, fast, and in a hurry with that. Because you put the wind to it, and buddy, it will get hot right now. Don't put it out. It just makes it burn hotter. And see, a blacksmith knows that. You know, I've watched guys work with coal-fired furnaces like that for forging. And they work with the fire. They don't work. It's like the heat that's in the steel that they pull out of that fire. When you're working with propane, you're on the clock. You're working against it going away. You got to work fast. And then if it starts, stick her back in there real fast. And it's almost like the fire is their enemy in the sense that it's always a battle between them and keeping it hot. Yes. And when you're working with coal like that, there's so much more heat retained in your steel because so much more of it's hot. That they just work. It's almost, when you watch somebody that's been doing it for years, it's like watching them work in unison with the fire. And when they know it needs a little boost, they got a little thing they can reach over and crank like this, and it takes no effort. Or they can reach and pull a handle, it takes almost no effort. And boy, that fire will get hot. And the next thing you know, they've got something laying there that you'd have never dreamed could have come out of that ugly piece of steel. I'm telling you, this matter of your fire, you need to get it nailed down where your fire's coming from, what kind of fire you've got. This fire that's going to fuel this machine of your spirit and your soul to raise your kids, to live for God, to be a witness, to be a testimony, to be bold for Him, to not be ashamed of Him in front of people. Why do you think so many people have this false fire, this strange fire? Why do you think they're ashamed of God? Because they know their fire can get blowed out by anything. They're ashamed of it. I don't care what they say. Their fire don't stand up. And it does not do the job like it needs to be done. Final thought. And this was interesting to me. I read this about us. It said that men who choose to work with coal or propane, they have to weigh out these two matters here. If you're using propane, you can have a bunch of projects going on at one time because propane will only get it so hot. And you can leave that piece of metal in there for all day long and it'll just get to a certain point. It won't never melt it down because it's only so hot. So you can have five projects going at one time and as long as it's in the fire, it's malleable and you can just go back to it whenever you want to. But with coal, you're restricted to only being able to work on one, maybe two projects at a time because the coal will get so hot, that fire will get so hot that it'll burn up your project. And see, we got too much going on. That's why people have changed the kind of fire that they use. kind of fire they want spiritually in their life. That's why they've changed it. Because they want to be able to just leave that piece of work in the fire, because then they feel like they're still doing something the right way. But then they don't have to tend to it. They don't have to worry about it because it's just there. And then when they look over there and their steel's ready to be worked with, then it makes them feel okay. Yeah. That they're doing the right thing. Problem is, they're not doing the work that they're supposed to be doing. They're just putting the metal in the fire. Whereas if you're working with the right kind of fire, you cannot leave it alone. You better work with it. When you heat it up, you better work with it, or else it'll burn up. You can't walk away and go chasing after other things that don't matter while your metal just lays in that fire. It'll burn it up. This fire that we're supposed to have from the Lord is not a light thing, and it's not to be trifled with. These sons of Aaron, ask them. They looked at it like it was any other kind of fire that they could do anything with that they wanted to. But it wasn't that kind of fire. And they made the devastating choice. In this matter of our fire, our spiritual fire, you better cook with the right stuff. You better make sure your fire is built out of the right stuff. And do what it takes to keep it burning. And stay close to the source of your fuel. And make sure the wind that's blowing on it ain't going to put out your fire. Make sure that it's the stuff that's going to keep you fired up and keep it hot and burning. Don't let it cool down. It takes a long time to get it back going when it goes out. Keep it hot. Don't have a propane forge in this matter of your spiritual life. Is that the kind of forge you're working with? On, off, hot, cold, hot, cold. I think I remember Jesus saying something about that matter. He said, I'd rather you be one way or the other. Because lukewarm, I'll spew it out of my mouth. It ain't no good. Don't work. Make sure your fire is the right kind of fire.